a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Adelstein?
I hear. Whatever.
Howie?
Whatever.
Jurstad?
Jurstad?
I am present.
Maher? Merchant?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Frisley?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
There is a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? Moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. A couple of our usual announcements. Those of you that are planning to testify, both committee members speaking into the microphone, be sure you speak up good and loud so your voice can be picked up for the benefit of those out on the Internet. Those of us wishing to testify, be sure and sign the guest register back by the door. And if you have a cell phone or anything that makes noise, why, please turn it off. We have a couple pages that I have been very anxious to meet from Aberdeen, Zoe Cope, who I find out know more about her than what she realizes. And another pretty familiar face to these surroundings, Sean Bogue from Faith, whose dad, Eric, was very intimate participant in all these proceedings not very far back. So welcome. Good to have you with us. We have only one bill this morning, which is House Bill 1252. And since I'm a Senate prime on this, I will turn the gavel over to my vice chair and move out in front and visit with you some more.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will open with testimony on House Bill 1252. Thank you. Mr. Senator Hansen.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be able to come before Senate Taxation Committee this morning. My name is Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetleland and Girald Counties. And I'm here to ask for your support in House Bill 1252. There are 23 housing authorities in South Dakota. They are major providers of low-income housing for a portion of our population. In many instances, the housing authority provides the only option. Several of their properties are tax-exempt properties. However, they do make payment to the appropriate taxing districts by a process called payment in lieu of taxes. The primary reason for the introduction of this bill is to change wording in lines 10 and 11 on page 2, and that wording is the other necessary services or facilities. That phrase represents problems in interpretation. What services are other necessary services, and what services are not? Currently, in order to arrive at the amount to be paid to satisfy the payment in lieu of tax, a calculation is made taking into consideration the revenue generated by the rental unit, which is reduced by the utilities and special services as described in lines 9, 10, and 11 on page 2. Current law says that 10% of the aggregate shelter revenue generated, that is then reduced by the amount of these expenses. The new language in line 13 on page 1 simply says that the payment in lieu of tax will be based on 5% of the revenue from the dwelling unit rentals with no deduction for expenses. This bill removes that ambiguous language. It makes the calculation simpler and easier to administer. This change has been reviewed by other housing authorities. There was no opposing testimony when it was heard before House Commerce on the House Committee on Taxation. I compliment Representative Gibson. She did a lot of work researching for this bill and getting it to this point of consensus that we see today. I ask your support of House Bill 1252, and we will stand by for questions if necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Further proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the House or Senate Taxation Committee. I'm Representative Peggy Gibson, District 22, Hand, Girald, and Beetle Counties. And this is a constituent-generated bill that I began working on this summer because of a problem between our Director of Equalization and our Housing Authority Executive Director. She obtained an Attorney General's opinion on the law that I passed out, the old 1968 law, and it was pretty much recommended to solve the problem. We could just adjust the percentage, and for the most part, it should be pretty revenue neutral back to our counties with the removal of the exemptions. It was, the ambiguous language was difficult to deal with. It caused problems every year. I did notify all 23 housing authorities with the content of the bill and how we proposed to change it and how the pilot calculations would be obtained. And there was no opposition. Mr. John Stingle from the Peer Housing Authority was so kind to come over and work with Mr. Botts and I on this issue. And he reviewed the entire file and contacted several of the housing authorities. They're all different. All 23 are a little different. But they had no objection to the change and the update and felt that it would just be an easier calculation all the way around. So we received positive feedback as a result of the change. It did pass through our House taxation unanimously and pass through the Senate 67-0. So I think it's a good bill, and I would certainly ask for your support, and I will stand by for questions as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Gibson. Are there any further proponents of House Bill 1252? Any further proponents? Any further proponents of House Bill 1252? Are there any opponents to 1252? Any opponents to House Bill 1252? Any opponents of 1252? If not, we will open it to questions of the sponsors.
Senator Peters. Thank you. Either one of the proponents would do. My question is, it was stated that this is revenue neutral. Were there calculations done? Is this going to be revenue neutral?
There was, and you know, it's not a real easy number to calculate because of the difficulty of nailing down those expenses. But in one instance, you know, and again, this kind of originates from the Housing Redevelopment Authority in Huron. It was very, very close. And of course, you know, there probably would be some instances where the 5% may generate more revenue than previously. There would be other instances where it might represent a little bit less. But as close as they could calculate, why they were of the opinion that it would be basically the same. And so, you know, I think that, again, there was no opposition from the counties, from the townships, from the cities. These would be, well, in schools, these are the main recipients of that revenue. You know, the payment in lieu of tax is distributed in the same percentage as all of the other levies that we receive on our property tax.
Would you like to go ahead and testify, Peggy? For Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have the payment in lieu of taxes from Beadle County from 2002 through 2009, and we went back and did pretty much of an assessment, and it just depends on what the Director of Equalization would allow for and other necessary expenses. Some years she allowed snow removal, some years she allowed computer expenses, some years she wouldn't. So it's been all over the place as far as what was allowed. And this will take out that ambiguity.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Jurstedt, or Senator, I'm sorry.
Ms. Gibson, please.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm just wondering if you've talked to the Sioux Falls housing folks and what their reaction was, if I may, please.
Thank you for that question, Senator Jurstedt. And yes, I received an email from Sioux Falls Housing Authority, and they were very much in favor of the change. And I have that email with me.
Thank you. Any further questions? Anyone have any further questions? If not, we will close it to questions and open it to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Pardon?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, in Senator.
Discussion. I'm trying to do the math on this. If we're talking about a net after those expenses before taxes, then this 5% is fairly high in terms of if you use a cap rate of even 10%. But if everyone's comfortable with it, obviously it needs to be changed downwards. And so let's see what happens. I don't have the math on this exactly right. But if the net income on a piece of property, for example, was $10,000 after those expenses, I'm accustomed, because I'm in that business, to saying the property is worth probably $100,000, a 10% cap rate. So $100,000 would end up paying a tax of 5%. Which would be 10% would be $10,000, would be $5,000. And you take the $5,000 off of the net that they're getting, then they're only getting $5,000, and that changes the cap rate to only $50,000. It strikes me as a little high, but if it's acceptable to the commissions, then that's fine. Because the property may be worth more because it's an adjusted low rent, so fine.
Would you care to?
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Thank you, Senator Adelstein, for that acknowledgement, because yes, that was, but the housing authorities felt that with the deductions removed, then it would even out pretty much. So they were, you know, I worked on this pretty much all summer, and Mr. Botts and I sent out a couple of different options for change to all of the housing authorities, and they felt that this one was acceptable and fairest and updated the statute. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gibson. We do have a motion due pass by Senator Gerstad. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Adelstein. Any further comments? If not, the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher? Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate, our House Bill 1252 passes unanimously.
Move consent.
Senator Merchant moves consent. It's seconded by Senator Adelstein. Any further comments? We can do this by just a voice vote, right? All in favor of consent on 1252, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Goes on consent. Well, thank you. We have no further bills. We do have a meeting on Monday at the same time. And if there are no further comments from anyone, we'll look for motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Senator Adelstein moves to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Peterson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.